Welcome to DIY Eco Guy. I'm your host, Chris Graber. I'm an engineer, a nature lover, and I'm concerned about climate change. This podcast is about simple DIY sustainability solutions you can implement in your home and community. I do the research and tackle projects at my house and share what I've learned with you. So let's have fun while making an impact on our world, one action at a time. Welcome to episode 2. This is all about gray water. What is that? Well, you know, I've created a blog about this on my website. If you want to learn more, if you want to see some photos of the actual project I implemented, and just read more all about the, you know, ins and outs of this. But gray water is basically water that flows from showers, bathroom sinks, washing machines. Those sources can be used for a gray water system. So I did just a project based on my clothes washing machine, and it just has a line that runs out to my yard. And there's a basin that I dug where a lot of the water goes into, and we have some fruit trees and other plants there that are growing. So here in Tucson, Arizona, you know, we think a lot about water usage. There was a diagram on the Tucson City website that showed that washers for clothes used about 13% of the total water for your home. And outdoor water is 45% usage on average here. So if you can take that 13% from your clothes washer and subtract it off your 45% of your outdoors, you know, that's a big deal. Just to give you perspective, like faucets, they show using 10%, your shower 9%. Toilet 14%. So you get the idea. You know, and this is after, you know, Tucson is very careful about water usage and educates everyone here. Our water comes from far, far away, hundreds of miles away. And, you know, so everybody tries to be pretty careful here in general. So imagine what these numbers are like, you know, in other areas. But before we go any further, you know, this varies by city, kind of what's allowed, what's okay, what programs are. You know, Tucson is, you know, very forward thinking about this, and, you know, is also looking at, you know, every new home that gets made is getting hooked up so that gray water could be implemented, stuff like that. So, but research your area. Here, there was a local nonprofit watershed management group. They offered a course that I took, a little class that I took, and that was on Zoom. I learned a lot. They had a lot of, you know, different resources that they linked to. And initially, I was like, hey, I'm not a plumber. This seems scary. What do you do? This seems complicated. But after a little bit of research, you know, I figured, hey, actually this seems pretty doable. This is actually fairly simple. It's kind of surprising that, you know, we take all this water normally and it just goes down the sewer line. So really all I did was install a valve that can redirect the water either to the sewer line if we want to, or out through, you know, a pipe that goes out to our yard. So a lot of this depends on where your washing machine is located. Mine happened to be in a room, you know, with a wall that's, you know, right next to the patio in the backyard. So I did have to drill a hole through our concrete wall. That was a little bit interesting. But a lot of the quote-unquote plumbing and stuff was fairly easy. You have to consider, you know, how far that water is going to get sent out to your yard. Basically, your washing machine has a pump in it, and that normally pumps the water up and out and over into your sewer line. So if you can take that water, that, you know, your pump pushes it up to a certain level. Ours is, you know, whatever, three or four feet up off the ground, where we have a little T in the line, PVC line goes out to the yard. So it's using gravity as well. And you don't want that line to, you know, go uphill. You want it to be gradually downhill as much as possible out to your yard. There's a lot more information about exactly how to do this through different classes. And so, you know, and there's a lot of information online as well. Like Oasis Design was a great resource for me. It's oasisdesign.net/graywater. A lot of information about graywater systems there. One of the cool things about the city of Tucson is they actually have rebates for these graywater and rainwater harvesting projects. I didn't actually end up using the rebate since I just DIY'd the project. And it wasn't very expensive to buy all the materials. But if I had done it a little bit, you know, more of an expensive approach or gotten extra help, I would utilize that. So I looked at WaterWise Supply. It's just waterwisesupply.com. They have what they, this is also called a laundry to landscape kit, which is a cool name. L2L, laundry to landscape. Easy way to memorize it. But they had a little customizable kit that was available. So had all those different, you know, all the main components like the valve, the different emitters at the ends of the lines, non-toxic PVC glue, stuff like that. And I ended up getting a long roll of 1-inch, it's called HDPE pipe. It's supposed to be, you know, stabilized for UV exposure and last a really long time, etc. So that's what I used out in our yard. So coming straight off the laundry machine, your normal pipe that goes up and out to the sewer line, that just connects to a valve, which is connected to some PVC pipes. Those PVC pipes, that's what, one of them goes down into the sewer line, the other one goes outside your house. Now, some people, they might have their laundry in a little outbuilding or outside, especially here in the desert. You see a fair amount of that. That makes it even easier, right? Then you don't have to drill a hole through your wall. It may be the case that your laundry machine is set up, you know, very far inside your house. It might not be easy to get a line to go out to one of your yards. So you have to think about that and get a little bit of extra help if that's the case, and just try, you know, understand the design and the limitations before implementing any of this stuff. But for a lot of people, it's actually pretty doable. And then it's really great to see things growing. You know, every time you run your laundry, you know, do a wash clothes, you can see the water going out to your yard and the plants are thriving. And it's amazing that for your whole life, all that water was just going down the sewer line, right? So, and now it gets used right there. And you might grow some fruit, you know? So that's pretty amazing just to watch every couple of days, you know, when you do the laundry. So it's exciting. Like, we have some native grasses growing in the basins at the graywater feeds, and we'll see little bunnies coming through the fence and chomping away at the grass, especially in the summer when it gets so hot here. It's just nice to see how the whole system works and has lots of different benefits that sort of quote-unquote stack. So, you know, my geeky mind loves efficiency, right? So the idea of stacking functions by, like, using the water to clean your clothes, then water your plants in your yard, it just is, it's neat, it's intuitive to me. It's fun. Does take a bit of elbow grease. I won't deny that. It was a fair amount of work. Took some time. A lot of that is just in the planning phase. Just, you know, what kind of parts do I need to buy, and how does all this set up, and how's it going to work long term, and just a lot to think about. Do I ever want to flush the line out? How do I do that? You know, so there's a lot of different potential things to think about. Just take some research. But I'm here to tell you that, hey, I was able to do it, and it's really cool. And a lot of people have asked me about it. I put a video up on YouTube and shared it with friends. You can find it on, you know, if you just look up DIY Eco Guy on YouTube, you'll see the video. And it's pretty cool. It's neat. It's powerful. It's pretty simple, really, in the end, to get this kind of thing going once you just kind of wrap your mind around it. Really didn't take a lot of tools, just a drill, screwdriver. I did have to have a masonry bit to get through our concrete wall. That might vary, you know, depending on what kind of wall you have, what the setup is, where your washing machine is. I had a level, a couple of other little common tools, but it wasn't like I was needing a lot of really specialized stuff. Some more pros here in town have really, you know, special giant drills with masonry bits and stuff. I just used my tiny little, you know, my tiny little drill, and just kind of worked away at it. Took a little bit, but yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, a couple of things to warn you about, just think about. So coming out of the back of the washer, there's this pipe, right? That's what the water goes out of normally into the sewer. You have to connect that, you know, up to a valve potentially, or to PVC line, you know, that's going out to your yard. You just really want to make sure there aren't going to be any leaks there, like at that junction where the washer's pipe connects with this, you know, the rest of the gray water system. So for me, I used this special, it's like elastomeric coating that we use on our roof here in Tucson. It's this white gooey stuff. You know, it's really good on that junction. There's probably a lot of other options just to make sure that there aren't any leaks. We have a little battery power leak detector just on the floor below the valve. So if any water hits the floor, it'll go beep, you know, super annoying. And then we'd be able to take a look. We haven't had any issues with it. We just used hose clamps and that elastomeric glue and really clamped that down and then let it dry and just kind of watched it for a while. That's right at the junction where that pipe goes into this valve that diverts the water either to the sewer or out to the yard. So, and then I also really tightened down that valve, screwed it into the wall. I mounted a thin board on the wall where that valve would get mounted so that I could put little U-brackets on there and really crank it down. And then that board also has the PVC pipe tied onto it really well. That way you're not wrecking your actual wall, and that wood strip gave me a really good, you know, foundation essentially to put some wood screws into to hold everything up. Just want to make sure that, you know, the valve can be a little bit hard to turn, so I wanted to make sure that it was going to be really solid. So then out in the yard, it just has off the HDPE 1-inch line, it just has a couple straps holding it onto the wall as it goes out along our patio and then out into our yard. It's probably like a 50-foot run or something. I've heard of people doing, you know, more. If your setup is a little better, it could be less. So we have, you know, a couple little branches running off the main line. And those are a smaller diameter. So there are little T junctions that you put in, and you put a little smaller diameter run going out to these emitters that have a little valve on them. So you can adjust how much water is coming out of each one of these emitters. So once you start using the system, you can kind of see, oh, okay, do these plants over here need more or less water? Or, you know, also just kind of depending on the pressure of that water, you can adjust how much is coming out where to make sure it's kind of optimized. But really, it was just going in the backyard and digging a ditch out for that HDP E-line to get placed into, and, you know, just figuring out that design. So that's a part of it, is just in your yard, where is it suitable to dump out some extra gray water? And I didn't mention it, but everyone asks that question, you know, what kind of soap do you use? Do you have to use special soap? So yes, you want to use special soap. Here, the soil in the desert, it's already very salty. You don't want to add more salt to that. So we use either Oasis or Ecos. And those are special blends, basically, that don't have salt and a lot of extra things that aren't compatible or biocompatible. So, yes, you shouldn't just use quote-unquote normal laundry detergent, right? So, on my blog, I have a little section there with links at the bottom, and one of them is for Oasis laundry detergent, which I can get refills at our local food co-op, so that's really cool. Or we can get Eco's free and clear laundry detergent just right down the street at our Sprouts. And there are other options too. Those are a couple of the main ones. You want to make sure, like, does it say it's compatible with gray water systems? Like, you know, when you look at the packaging or look at their website. So use a detergent that's biodegradable, low in sodium, phosphate, has low conductivity and alkalinity, I read. Avoid detergents that have boron, high in salts, like sodium or phosphates, or softening powder. I read that boron and salt are toxic to plants. So yes, you do want to have, you know, a particular type of laundry detergent. And I also just wanted to take a minute to give a shout out to Brad Lancaster, who wrote these books, The Rainwater Harvesting for Drylands and Beyond. There's a lot of information about gray water systems there. I've read two of his books cover to cover, you know, marked them all up. Brad is from Tucson, and he started quite a while back, I believe, like in the mid-90s, converting his home to use gray water, rainwater harvesting, etc., etc. Just a long list, solar, long list of things that he's done. And so the whole neighborhood down there has been transformed, you know, because of Brad's thinking and work. So it's really cool to see, and the books are great. Check out his website, harvestingrainwater.com. He has a whole gray water section on there. It's in my helpful link section on my blog. And it's awesome. The information is really, really good. I have a little quote from his website at the top of my blog, just talking about exactly what gray water harvesting is and all the benefits. It's really cool. So he says, gray water harvesting is the practice of directing gray water to the primary root life zone, the top 1 to 2 feet of the soil, to freely irrigate and help grow beautiful and productive landscapes while achieving quote-unquote waste water treatment without using chemicals or energy. Plants and microorganisms in the soil consume and filter the organic nutrients and bacteria found in gray water, treating it naturally and returning clean water to the water cycle. The number and diversity of these beneficial microorganisms and plant roots increase the closer you get to the surface of the soil. So typically, the higher you distribute the gray water in or atop the uppermost layers of the soil, the better. So, and he has a great point there about you're not using chemicals or energy. So apparently, in order to pump the water from up north down to Tucson, I think it's the state's largest energy user to do that. And I believe that's true. And a lot of that energy is still using coal for power, which is not so great for the climate, right? So there's like a hidden cost, you know, to transport all that water. It takes a lot of energy. It has to get pumped uphill, as I understand it, quite a ways. So it's not like all that is happening based on solar power yet at this point. So, you know, at least in this region, that energy used, that's a lot. And you realize that too, just your the water coming from, you know, whatever city you're in, it's treated. This is drinking water. So you're using drinking water to wash your clothes, which is great because you want your clothes to be clean, right? But there's a lot involved with getting that water cleaned and treated and having it get to your home so you can do the laundry. Now, I didn't even talk about, you know, using an efficient washing machine. We actually have a top loader just because we have concerns about mold growth with the older front loaders, because we've had some issues with exposure to that before. So ours has an agitator, and it's, I don't know, it's maybe 6 years old or something. So next up would be, you know, to get a newer top loader. They have much more efficient models now that don't have the agitator. The front loaders have gotten a lot better too, and they have like a sanitized cycle and stuff, and you can leave the door open so that, you know, it doesn't get gunky in there. Hopefully tries to dry out and stuff. But I was doing some research about all the top rated most efficient top loaders that don't have an agitator, and some of those you can get, you know, rebates for now, like through the city and stuff like that. Also, just in general, the government is offering lots of different incentives for making your home more energy efficient these days. So research what might be available in your area. It's not to say, hey, you know, get rid of whatever washing machine you have just in order to start doing a gray water laundry landscape project. I mean, if it's time to get a new one and you really need one, then yes. But, you know, it takes a lot of energy and resources just to create a washing machine and have it shipped to you, et cetera, et cetera. So kind of think that through. So again, you know, if you're interested in installing a gray water system like this at your home, just check with your city and your state's regulations. Search for local experts who can help you. You might get lucky and find a local nonprofit like I did that had a lot of resources and classes and stuff. But there might be some local experts that can help you learn about this and either, you know, enable you to set it up on your own like I did, or get some help. There might be some experts in your area. Really, it's sort of like a handyman level task. It's not really like complex plumbing. It's a little bit intimidating if you've never, you know, worked with PVC or anything like that before, but really it's not that difficult. You just want to make sure it doesn't leak, right? And make sure that you can maintain the system. You know, you do want to every so often adjust the valve if you're using one so that the water does go through the sewer, because there's a little P-trap down there. You want to make sure that that gets filled with fresh water through time, just so that you don't get any sewer smells. So we do that every once in a while. If you're doing a hot load, that's typically okay from what I've read to send out through your gray water system. But say you're going to use some bleach or do, you know, some kind of special wash cycle, then you could send that out to the sewer periodically if you need to. So check out my blog for more kind of background. The YouTube link is on, or video is on there. A lot of other links. So if you go to DIYEcoGuy.com, or I'm also on Medium, DIYEcoGuy.medium.com, and just take a look. Let me know if you have any questions or anything. And, you know, hopefully some of you will look into this. It's really cool to see it in action. And that's one suggestion is, you know, look around locally, see if anybody has implemented this. Maybe there are folks that would be willing to talk to you or even help you. You know, people that get into this stuff are usually are pretty excited about it and want to share and have this information spread, right? You might be able to talk to your city government, et cetera, about maybe starting some programs around this, or, you know, implementing some changes for new construction to have this sort of setup, you know, kind of already in place. That would be amazing. And when you combine it with things like rainwater harvesting basins out in your yard, I mean, that water from your gray water system can go out, settle in to the ground, and, you know, in not too long, you could be staring at a beautiful pomegranate tree like we are. We have a fig tree that's growing and they're looking healthy and doing well. So you could grow some citrus possibly, you know, in an area like here in the desert where normally, you know, it's a lot of water. That's like the highest water use in our yard is for a citrus tree, right? But if you have a gray water system that you use regularly, that might be an option, which is exciting. So anyway, I love this topic. Let me know if there's anything I could do to help point you in a direction to take a look at something like this. All right. I'd love to hear from you. My email is chris@diyecoguy.com. I'm on social media at DIYEcoGuy. Do you have any questions, topics you'd like me to cover? What's your perspective? What are you curious about? I'm here to help make sustainability more simple. So I look forward to sharing more with you on the next episode. And until then, thanks for listening to the DIY EcoGuy podcast. Take it easy and get rad.